नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। So I think it's vacation time. Like I think many are probably traveling or visiting relatives. So yeah, maybe there'll be less participation today, but maybe hopefully they'll get to hear the recording. Okay, so we have been discussing from the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So in that, you know, this is the first chapter is basically setting the scene for the philosophical discussion to start between Arjuna and Krishna. And Arjuna requested Krishna to take the chariot to the middle of the battlefield so that he could see who are the people who had assembled to fight with them. So Krishna takes that chariot right in front of Bhishma and Drona, so that the raw emotions that Arjuna is going to feel can come out very quickly. So that's where we are, and Arjuna is now going to present his doubts. So the first we had seen many of these verses. I will just quickly go over them, the various reasons that Arjuna gives for not wanting to fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. First, he says, compassion. Drishtvemān swajanān Krishna yuyutsum samupastitam sīdanti mama gātrāṇi mukham ca parishushyati vepatuscha sharīre me roma harshascha jāyate gāṇḍīvam śramsate hastāt tvak caiva paridahyate. So he mentions that basically Arjuna is presenting that just looking at this, the people who have assembled here to fight with me, practically all, you know, symptoms of intense emotions are manifesting in my body. My hairs are standing on end. My limbs are literally trembling, and Gandiva is just slipping off from my hand, and my skin is burning completely. Right, so and then he says, Nacha shaknom yavastatum bhramati vachame manaha nimittani cha pashyami viparitani keshava. And my dear Krishna, and I see only causes of misfortune. I don't see any fortunate result coming up, going to come up with this fight if I continue with this fight. So I don't wish to continue this fight. And then he says, even if I fight and win or lose, actually, I am not going to get any happiness. So ultimately, if everyone wants to endeavor for happiness, right? Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukam vanyam duparamam va vindeta bhuyas tatayeva dukkam yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadennaha. So this is the first question that Vidura asks Maitreya. So he says that in this world, people endeavor to perform activities for two purposes. One is for sukha pravritti, another is for dukkha nivritti, right? So either they want to perform activities to enhance their happiness or to overcome suffering. And Arjuna is going to tell that I am not going to achieve both. Neither am I going to get happiness, nor am I going to escape my suffering. So why should I fight? That's the next reason that he says. So he says, Nacha shreyo nu pashyami hatva swajanamahave nakankshe vijayam Krishna nacha rajyam sukanicha. My dear Krishna, by killing my own relatives, I don't think any auspicious result is going to come. Therefore, I do not desire victory, I do not desire the kingdom and I don't desire any happiness also, because I will not get any happiness after killing my own relatives. Of course, in this context, we discussed, what is Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga, what is their practice, what is their goal, and how is the practice of Varnashram Dharma connected to Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. We had a long discussion about this, right? And then we took this question by Shyam Mohan Prabhu about, is it needed to first practice Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga to overcome the false ego? And then does it become actually easy to practice Bhakti Yoga? We had a long discussion about this also. And then we did discuss the yoga ladder, how this yoga ladder comes in the description of Bhagavad Gita by Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan, we were discussing, right? And then we discussed, how Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur discusses the first six chapters of, or the whole Bhagavad Gita, how he discusses, about and how, in contrast, how Baldev Vidya Bhushan discusses, we discuss this yoga ladder thing, yoga ladder as described by Baldev Vidya Bhushan, even though Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur does not seem to describe much of a yoga ladder. So we discussed how Sanishta, Parinishtita, and Nirapeksha. This is what is the Baldev Vidya Bhushan's explanation, like that. I mean, I don't know if you have any doubts or if you cannot recollect, you can please ask me and we can definitely. And then we did discuss about the destination of Nishkama Karma Yoga, Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Yoga, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Ashtanga Yoga, and Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Where they reach, what they achieve, and all those things we discussed. And then Arjuna continues 32 to 35. Kimno Rajyena Govinda Kimbogair Jivitenava Yesham Arte Kankshitam no Rajyam Boga Sukanicha Taime Avastita Yudde Pranam Stetva Dananicha Acharya Pitra Putra Stadeva Chapitamaha Matula Shvashura Pautraha Shala Sambandinastata Yetan Nahantu Michami Gnatopi Madhusudana Api Trailoki Rajasya Hetoho Kimnu Mahikrite Nihatya Dartarashtram Naha Apritisyat Janardana. So Arjuna is telling, my dear Krishna, Kimno Rajyena, what is the use of this kingdom? Kim Bogair, what is the use of this enjoyment? Jivitenova, what is the use of even living? Yesham Arte Kankshitam no Rajyam Boga Sukanicha. When those people for whom we are trying to attain the Rajya kingdom enjoyment and happiness, these teachers, fathers, sons, and all these relatives, they themselves are standing on the battlefield. So if what should I value more? Should I value kingdom enjoyment and happiness more than the joy of living with my own loving relatives? What kind of happiness am I going to get by this, Krishna? Eta na hantum icchami. Therefore, I do not desire to kill them. Gnatopi. Even if they may want to kill me, I don't want to kill them. Api trailokya rajyasya hetoho. Even if in return, actually in return to this big, for fighting this big battlefield, I will get only the kingdom of Hastinapur. But even if you give me the sovereignty over Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, and Swargaloka, still I am not willing to fight against my own relatives. Okay? So, because I am not going to get any happiness by fighting and killing these people, my own relatives. So this is the second reason that he gives, that I will not get any happiness. The third reason is fear of sin. He says, పాపమేవాశ్రయేదస్మాత్ హత్వేతాన్ హాతతాయిన తస్మాన్నార్హ వయం హంతుం ధార్తరాష్ట్రాన్ స్వబాంధవాన్ స్వజనం హి కథం హత్వా సుఖిన శ్యామ మాధవ. సో హీ సేస్ దట్ ఏతాన్ ఆతతాయిన హత్వా హస్మాన్ పాపమేవ ఆశ్రయత్. యాక్చువల్లీ కృష్ణ మే సే లుక్ యు ఆర్ కాలింగ్ దెమ్ యువర్ రిలేటివ్స్ బట్ ఇన్ రియాలిటీ దే ఆర్ అగ్రెసర్స్ అండ్ అర్థశాస్త్ర సేస్ దట్ ది అగ్రెసర్స్ యు నో హూ ఇస్ అన్ ఆర్సనిస్ట్ హూ పుట్స్ ఫైర్ టు యువర్ రెసిడెన్స్ ఆర్ వన్ హూ గివ్స్ పాయిజన్ వన్ హూ అటాక్స్ విత్ వెపన్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ అ థీఫ్ వన్ హూ స్టీల్స్ యువర్ ప్రాపర్టీ అండ్ ద స్టీలర్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ ఓన్ వైఫ్. Vashishta Smriti, which is an Arthashastra, which says that these aggressors should be killed, right? And Manusmriti says, without consideration, one should kill the aggressors as there is no fault in killing them. But Dharma Shastra, which is supposed to be higher than Arthashastra, it says that స్మృత్యోర్ విరోధే న్యాయస్తు బలవాన్ వ్యవహారతః అర్థశాస్త్రాత్తు బలవాన్ ధర్మశాస్త్రం ఇతి స్థితిః. ది యాజ్ఞవల్క్య స్మృతి సేస్ వెన్ దర్ ఇస్ అ డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ ది అర్థశాస్త్ర అండ్ ధర్మశాస్త్ర ద ధర్మశాస్త్ర ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ స్ట్రాంగర్ దెన్ ది స్టేట్మెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ అర్థశాస్త్ర. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ ఇఫ్ దర్ ఇస్ అ కాంట్రడిక్షన్ బిట్వీన్ ది అర్థశాస్త్ర అండ్ ధర్మశాస్త్ర ద స్టేట్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ధర్మశాస్త్ర షుడ్ బి అక్సెప్టెడ్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ వాట్ Arjuna is arguing here. My dear Krishna, you are asking me to kill them because they are aggressors, but that statement is according to Arthashastra. But Dharma Shastra says that that even aggressors should not be killed. Therefore, if I kill them, I will get sins, and if I get sin, then I will have to suffer. I might as well suffer dying on the battlefield, being killed by them, than to kill them and incur sin. So therefore, I will not kill the sons of Dhritarashtra. And how can I live happily, having killed my own relatives, because I will be accruing sinful reactions. So this is a good argument that Arjuna has presented, based on a higher shastra, Dharma Shastra. Then we saw the fourth reason that he presents is the destruction of family traditions. The family traditions will be destroyed if I kill them. That's what he says. So he says, Yadyapyetena pashyanti lobopahata chetasa kulakshaya kritam dosham mitra drohe cha patakam కథం నేయమ అస్మాభి పాపాదస్మాన్ నివర్తితుం కులక్షయకృతం దోషం ప్రపశ్యద్భిర్ జనార్దన. హి సేస్ యద్యపి ఏతే ఈవన్ ఇఫ్ దే ఇఫ్ బికాస్ కృష్ణ మే సే లుక్ అర్జున యు ఆర్ థింకింగ్ లైక్ దిస్ అండ్ యు ఆర్ విల్లింగ్ టు డై ఇన్ దర్ హ్యాండ్స్. Do you think your opponents, who are also your relatives only, for whom you are a dear cousin, brother and all that, are they willing to put down their bow and arrow? And are they ready to die in your hands? So he says that, Arjuna says, well, I don't know about that. Even if they are overcome by greed and if they want to kill me, I don't mind, he says. I don't really mind. Let them come and kill me. But the problem is that they are not seeing kulakshaya kritam dosham, the fault of destroying the family. Mitra drohe cha patakam. Even if they may not see that how killing one's own relatives and family members is a sinful act and it's a faulty act, దే మే నాట్ సి, బట్ కథం న అస్మాభి కులక్షయ కృతం దోషం ప్రపశ్యద్భిర్ అస్మాత్ పాపాత్ నివర్తితుం జ్ఞేయం. దే మే నాట్ నో బట్ వీ నో, దే మే దేర్ ఐస్ మే బి కవర్డ్ బై గ్రీడ్ బట్ మై ఐస్ ఆర్ నాట్ కవర్డ్ బై గ్రీడ్. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ ఐఎమ్ వండరింగ్ హౌ క్యాన్ ఐ కిల్ దెమ్. ఐ నో ది ఫాల్ట్, ఐ నో యు నో వాట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు హ్యాపన్ ఇఫ్ ఐ కిల్ దెమ్. సో యు నో వై షుడ్ ఐ డూ దిస్, మై ఐస్ ఆర్ నాట్ కవర్డ్ బై గ్రీడ్. దిస్ ఇస్ వేర్ వి ఎండెడ్ అవర్ డిస్కషన్ ద లాస్ట్ టైమ్ వి డిస్కస్డ్. Before we move on to today's discussion, if there are any quick comments, discussion points, questions based on what we discussed till last week of course we did not have, the week before that, you can please raise your hands and we can have a discussion. If there is any discussion points or questions based on what we have covered till now, either based on the verse or based on some of the points that we might have discussed, if there is any. Yes, Sachi Pran Prabhu, I am unmuting you. Go ahead, Prabhu.
Prabhu Dandat Pranam.
Dandat Prabhu.
Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Yes, Prabhu, you are audible.
So, Prabhuji, in this situation where Arjuna is facing the all his guru and all his family members,
mm-hmm.
so the Vaishnava qualities he's showing as a mm-hmm. compassion here.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we find the difficult situations, we don't remember the good part.
Mm-hmm.
So the Vaishnava qualities what he's showing as compassion is a sign of a pure devotional, a pure devotee here, as Arjuna is showing.
See, Arjuna, you should understand that just before this whole Bhagavad Gita started, Krishna has covered Arjuna. So Krishna has covered the pure devotional nature of Arjuna, and he is now going to use Arjuna as a prototype, first for, you know, Sakama Karma Yogi. Then he will use him as a prototype, Nishkama Karma Yogi, then Jnana Yogi, then Ashtanga Yogi, then Karma Mishra Bhakta, then Jnana Mishra Bhakta, then Yoga Mishra Bhakta, then Shuddha Bhakta. So he will keep on changing Arjuna's adhikar artificially. Even though Arjuna is a Nitya Parshada, he is a Nitya Siddha devotee of Krishna. He is always a pure devotee only. So he is not... He is not a Karma Yogi or a Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi or a Karma Mishra Bhakta or Jnana Mishra Bhakta or Yoga Mishra Bhakta. He is not even a pure devotional sadhaka. Actually, Arjuna is a perfected pure devotee, eternally perfected pure devotee. But Krishna is using Arjuna as a prototype, and he will change his psychology and his faith artificially in order to and inspire Arjuna to ask questions which are very naturally asked by a person who would be in that particular faith, you know, as a Karma Yogi or a Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi. So even though Prabhupada does in one of the purports talk about Arjuna showing those symptoms to indicate, he has a Vaishnava's heart. But in the very next purport, Prabhupada very clearly says that this is due to his weakness of heart. So if you take Arjuna to be a Nitya Siddha devotee of Krishna, then you can take his manifesting those symptoms to indicate a soft heart, which is the symptom of a person who has reached the stage of Krishna Prema. Or you can take it as a sign of weak heart, which is symptomatic of a person who is, you know, in one sense, like a regular materialist who is very sentimental. So either way, you can see. And Prabhupada gives both the understandings from the absolute point of view and from the drama point of view. So in one sense, this whole Bhagavad Gita discussion is a drama presented by Arjuna and Krishna. So because out of the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, I think we did discuss this, right, the other day, which are the verses which are applicable for Arjuna? Anyone? I think, did we discuss this the other day?
I don't think so, Proji.
Yeah. Out of the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, can someone share which are the verses which are applicable to Arjuna? As an instruction, anyone, you can please raise your hands and you can share. Which are the verses which are applicable to Arjuna as an instruction? Yes, Shyam Mohan Prabhu.
Roji, we discussed it and we concluded that Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhaktya Pranashyati. This was the
one. That is the only verse. Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. That is the only verse. Because Arjuna is not a Karma Yogi. So therefore, the instructions about Karma Yoga, as in Karmanyeva Adhikaraste Mafaleshu Kadachana and Durenaya Avaram Karma Buddhi Yoga Dhananjaya, all these verses which are instructions for a karma yogi, in one sense is not applicable to Arjuna. Are the instructions for a jnana yogi are also not applicable for Arjuna. The instructions for an ashtanga yogi are also not applicable for Arjuna. And the instructions for a bhakti yogi are also not applicable to Arjuna, because instructions are needed only for sadhaka, for a student. For one who is a perfected devotee, there is no need for any instruction. Because for a perfected devotee at the stage of bhava and prema, they don't act being stimulated by instructions. They act being stimulated by their own spiritual emotions. It is spiritual emotions that stimulate them. So therefore, in one sense, out of these 700 verses, as far as I can recollect, Arjuna, you go and loudly proclaim that my devotee shall never perish. This is the only verse which is actually like an instruction for Arjuna. Rest of the verses, which are normative, are in the form of an instruction. None of them are applicable to Arjuna at all. Like that. So, yeah, you can see in one sense, Arjuna as a prototype, just like a magician will bring his own chela and do all sorts of magic, like that Krishna has brought his own, you know, chela, like who is Arjuna, and he is making him into a sakama karma yogi. And chalo abhi sakama karma yogi kya kya questions puchta hai pucho, and then uska he gives an answer. Then abhi aap nishkama karma yogi ban jao, to now you ask the questions of a nishkama karma yogi, and he asks those questions and he gives the answer. Like that he in order to establish the dharma for all these various practitioners, sakama karma yogi, nishkama karma yogi, jnana yogi, ashtanga yogi and bhakti yogi, Arjuna is being used as a prototype to you know, by Krishna to establish these dharmas, like that.
Thank you Proji. So I was confused that where Arjuna is, if he is not showing here the nitya parshad,
yeah,
showing as a normal karmi, then he should remember his normal position of a kshatriya, and also he remember the whatever has happened with his family, mm-hmm. and whatever troubles the opposition has given to him.
Mm.
So completely negating that part and only remembering that they are, you know, very good people and their guru and my family member.
Actually, so Prabhu, actually, how do you know Krishna's hands here? Because this was not the first time Arjuna was fighting them.
Yeah.
Arjuna had fought them when, you know, that when Duryodhana came to attack, what is that? That Uttara Kumar and Arjuna, they fight, right?
Right.
Yeah. So there he already had an opportunity to fight with them and kill them. And he literally, you know, single-handedly defeated all of them. So therefore, this was not the first time they were fighting. So this was very clearly Krishna's orchestrated by Krishna. Even Arjuna was in one sense like not aware what was going through, because he was covered by this curtain of Yogamaya. So he himself was not aware what exactly was going, what was happening actually.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Any other quick comments, discussion points, questions before we move ahead to the next part? Anyone? Okay. So I think we will then continue further. So here, Arjuna is presenting his last, not last, but the penultimate argument of why he will not fight. So, which is actually destruction of family traditions. So, Arjuna continues. Kulakshaye pranashyanti kula dharma sanatanaha dharme nashte kulam kritsnam adharma adharmo abhibavatyuta. He says, kulakshaye, when the family is destroyed, sanatanaha kula dharma. Kula dharma means the Varna Dharma, the occupational dharma, the eternal proper conduct of the family, pranashyanti, it is destroyed. Dharme nashte, and when that kula dharma is destroyed, kulam, the whole family, kritsnam, completely, adharmo abhibhavatyuta, then the whole family is completely engulfed by adharma. When the kula dharma is gone, like we discussed, right? If you remember, we saw in that table if a sakama karma yogi or a nishkama karma yogi, if he neglects his varnashrama dharma because the kula dharma is destroyed because of the destruction of the family, then they don't have to do any other sinful activity. Just by neglecting their own prescribed duties, they accumulate sins actually. So this Sakama Karma Yogi and Nishkama Karma Yogi, they gain sinful reactions just by neglecting their Varnashram duties. And that's what Arjuna is pointing out here. He is telling that with the destruction of family, the kula dharma is lost, and when kula dharma is lost, then definitely everyone will be performing sinful activities, because for a karma yogi, neglect of his kula dharma or his varnashrama dharma in itself is sinful. What to speak of separately performing some forbidden activities, that is additionally sinful. But just his mere neglect of his own dharma is actually sinful enough. That's what he's telling. Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes, the right conduct maintained by the family, which has been passed down from many generations, will be destroyed with the destruction of the family. Because if all the elders of the family die on the battlefield, then who is going to teach them what is the traditional dharma, which their varna and according to their varna they are supposed to practice, that will be lost. Who is going to teach them, right? So that's what he is indicating here. Any quick comments, discussion points? Okay, let's continue then. Arjuna continues his arguments. Adharma bibavat Krishna pradushyanti kulastriyah strishu dushtashu varshneya jayate varna sankarah. Adharma abhibhavat, from the prevalence of adharma, pradushyanti kulastriyah, the woman of the family become contaminated. So when everyone starts becoming adharmic, then if the men become adharmic, then naturally the woman also become adharmic, right? And when the woman become adharmic, then they become contaminated. Strishu dushtashu, and if the woman become contaminated, o varshneya, o descendant of Vrishni, jayate varna shankara. So then varna sankaras are born. So varna sankaras are actually very sinful in one sense, sinful birth, you know, where women become adulterous and illegitimate children will be born, and such illegitimate children will not be proper kshatriyas. So therefore it's going to be chaos. So why should I fight? I mean, Arjuna is speaking as if he has never fought on a battlefield. In any battlefield, someone has to die and their kula will be gone and their kula dharma will be gone. I mean, whatever he is arguing, even if it is true, you know, the whole Kshatriya dharma, Kshatriyas have been existing since time immemorial. They have always fought, always someone has died. So this is nothing new. Here Arjuna is speaking as if the battlefield of Kurukshetra is the first ever battle that was ever fought on planet Earth. It's not like that. So this kind of thoughts and confusion and is all due to Arjuna being covered by this curtain of Yogamaya by Krishna, like that. So that's what he says. When adharma is prevalent, the woman of the family will become spoiled by becoming adulteress. So why should I be the cause of that? This is Arjuna's argument. Any quick comments, discussion points? Yes, Sachipran Prabhu.
Suji, why Arjuna is specifically calling Krishna as Varshneya? Any specific reason?
As Varshneya.
Varshneya.
So, yeah. So he says that your, I think Baldevya Bhushan talks about it. Because your dynasty was not destroyed in this way, therefore Varnasankaras did not appear in your dynasty. And still, you know, the Vrishni dynasty has flourished, and without any Varna Sankara it is there. But if your dynasty had been destroyed in this way, and if the women of your lineage were had become spoiled, then there will be only Varna Sankara, and I will not be standing here and hearing your instructions. So that's what I think that's why he is calling him Varshneya.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, anything else? Okay, then he continues. Sankaro narakayaiva kulagnanam kulasya cha patanti pitaro hyesham lupta pindodaka kriyaha. So he says that kulasya sankaraha, mixed caste in the family, sankaro narakayaiva kulagnanam kulasya cha. So mixed caste in the family, kulagnanam narakaya eva, brings hell for those who have destroyed their family members. Now you see the argument of Arjuna. He says, if I kill the family members of the Kauravas, and because of my killing the family members of Kauravas, if the Kuladharma gets destroyed, and if the Kaurava woman gets spoiled, and as a result of that, if Varnasankara take birth in the Kaurava clan, then I will go to hell. Now, this seems like a very strange reason. I mean, if this kind of a reason is given, think about it, which Kshatriya will fight? Because no Kshatriya wants to go to hell and suffer. And if you fight on the battlefield, either you die or the opponent dies. If the opponent dies, then as per Arjuna's argument, the Kuladharma will be lost. And if the Kuladharma is lost, then the woman will be spoiled. The woman is spoiled, then there will be Varnasankara. So then if there is Varnasankara, the one who is the cause of Varnasankara, which is the opponent king who defeated the king on the battlefield, he will go to hell. I mean, this seems like a very strange argument, because then for that reason, then everyone would like to die on the battlefield only, because by dying on the battlefield, at least you go to Swarga, because it is very clearly mentioned that one who dies on the battlefield goes to Swarga, and one who is victorious on the battlefield will go to Naraka. So this is the argument that Arjuna is giving. Very strange argument. If this is the case, then no one would fight on the battlefield to actually win the battle. Everyone would want to lose only. So this is like a very strange argument that Arjuna is giving here. This is not true. And then he continues that patanti pitarohyesham lupta pindotaka kriya. Not only that, if Varnasankaras are born, these Varnasankaras, because they are so sinful, they will not do the Shraddha ceremonies, the Pindakriya, Udakakriya, which are all supposed to be given to the forefathers. That will all stop. And if that stops, then the forefathers will also fall to hell. They will also experience hellish suffering. And I will become the cause of that. And I will also go to hell for that. Yeah, this is a very, very not so perfect argument by Arjuna here. Any quick comments, discussion points? Okay. Sachipran Prabhu and after that Shyam Mohan Prabhu.
Prabhuji, we can clearly see in the Kali Yuga that this is already in what Arjuna is talking about, maybe it's 5,000 years before. Mm. But we can see today's perspective that there is a mixed caste, Brahmins married to Muslims, and then there is no culture is followed here in the mixed caste families. Mm. So we can observe in today's scenario exactly. Mm. Everyone is Shudra, whatever. So there is no culture, Varnashankara, everything we can see in today's perspective.
Correct.
So what Arjuna is saying here, we can visualize in today's Kali Yuga.
Well, in one sense, this is true. But the way Arjuna is presenting is that whoever goes to the battlefield, fighting a battle itself will create generations of Varnasankara, is not a very valid argument. It's not a very valid argument, actually. Then practically no one would fight any battle, because anyone fights a battle, then there will be death. And there will be Akshaunis and Akshaunis of death. Arjuna has been fighting so many such battles. He had killed so many people himself. All of a sudden, why is he feeling like this? So, yeah, that's what I feel.
Thank you. Thank you, Prasad.
Yeah. Shamantu, did you raise your hands? Would you like to ask?
Prabhuji, I wanted to know that whatever Arjuna had feared, that the trees will be, the women will become polluted, there will be Varna Sankara. So did all of that actually happen historically after the Kurukshetra war?
I don't think so. I'm not very sure about it, because the I don't know, Prabhu, historically whether it did happen or not. I'm not very sure. Yeah.
Because this was a world war of a very large scale. Maybe previous
there were bigger wars, Prabhu. This is not like even what...
Devasur Sangram is the biggest war, perhaps.
Which one,
but Prabhu? Then Devasur Sangram, that was perhaps the biggest. Devasur. But then after that, such world wars may not have happened, according to my best estimate. I'm not sure.
Like, even when Jayadratha was Jarasandha was attacking, I think there were like many more Akshohini senas that were destroyed by Krishna and Balram compared to what happened in the battlefield of Kurukshetra.
11 Akshohinis he would bring every time, I think.
But how many Akshohinis died in on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? I mean, and 17 times he attacked, right?
Yes, yes.
17 times he attacked, 17 times 11 Akshohinis. So, which is like 187 Akshohinis, something like that. Right? So, 187 Akshohinis, and on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it was how many? I think 11 and 7, right?
Not sure, Prabhuji.
Yeah, 11 Akshohinis on the Kaurava side and 7 Akshohinis on Pandava side. So it was just 11 plus 7, right? Someone is sharing. Yeah, around 18 Akshohinis only. And where is 18 Akshohinis? Where is 187 Akshohinis? You know, 10 times more, you know, was killed there. So, I mean, I don't think this was like such a big battle in one sense.
Achha. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sachipran Prabhu.
Prabhu, just a humble thought. This because Kali Purusha, when Parishad Maharaj wanted to punish Kali, and he was giving the four areas, you know, to stay. That time, Kali Purusha arguing with Parishad Maharaj, that time, you know, there is no place like this where this is happening. So till Parishad Maharaj is there, after like, he's an Arjuna's like a descendant of the same family. So after the war, then Parikshit Maharaj was maintaining the culture. Such a powerful personality was exist that even he can restrict the Kali Yuga to appear.
Correct.
So I don't think so that after that war, this thing has happened.
Yeah, probably. You're right. Yeah, that's a very valid point. So yeah, probably not. Because still Parikshit Maharaj was there, Kali Purusha could not enter. Yeah. And Loknath Prabhu says that Jarasandha would bring 22 Akshohinis. So that's then 20 times more was killed actually. So 22 Akshohinis every time. And in battlefield of Kurukshetra, only 18 Akshohinis actually. So, yeah, anyway. Okay. If there are no further discussion points, we will continue. Then Krishna, Arjuna continues his arguments. He says, Doshairetair kulagnanam varna sankara karakaihi utsadyante jati dharmaha kuladharmascha shashvataha. So then he says that jati dharma and kuladharma cha shashvataha. Both the caste and family rules. Right? So the caste rule is Varna Dharma. Okay. And then there would be particular family rules also, certain which, you know, which not just the Kshatriya, but even within Kshatriyas, the particular the particular families may have some particular rituals according for their Kula Devata and things like that. Utsadyante, they will also be destroyed. Why? Yetair doshaihi. by these faulty Varnasankaras who will stop all this Jati Dharma and Kula Dharma, that will also be stopped. Varna Sankara Karakaihi Kulagnanam, caused by the killers of the family members. And who will become the cause of all that? I will become the cause, because of me, all these Varna Sankaras have been created, and they will stop all the Jati Dharma and Kula Dharma. And if Jati Dharma and Kula Dharma are stopped, there will be a lot of sinful reactions, sinful activities performed, and who is the ultimate cause of all those sinful reactions? The one who killed all of them, that is me. Why should I suffer? So that's what he is indicating here. By the faults of mixture of caste, both the caste rules and the family rules will be destroyed. Okay. Then he continues. Utsanna kula dharmanam manushyanam janardana narake niyatam vaso bhavati ityanushushruma. O janardana, iti anushushruma. I have heard that utsanna kula dharmanam manushyanam, for those men whose family rules are destroyed, narake niyatam vasah bhavati, they live in hell permanently. So I will be the cause of not only the forefathers, but all the family members also will go and reside in hell. So, and I will be the sole cause of so many people residing in hell. Well, I'm not very sure, because in that case, literally, he is painting a very ghastly picture, indicating that wars or even dharmic wars will lead to many, many people going to hell. I mean, this sounds very strange to me, actually. This is definitely, Arjuna is overcome with emotions. Sometimes when people are overcome with extreme emotions, then they don't speak very logically. Either it may be very extreme joy or extreme terror or extreme anxiety or extreme distress. Any of these extreme excitement, people don't speak very logically. People tend to speak very illogically, and one should not take it very seriously also. So Arjuna is painting a very ghastly picture about wars, that literally he says that if people fight wars, then literally the whole families and forefathers of whoever is fighting, they will all go to hell. I mean, that's a very strange thought, and it's not true at all, actually. Any quick comments, discussion points? Okay, let's continue then. Then further he says, Aho batamahat papam kartum vyavasita vayam yadrajya sukha lobena hantum swajana mudyataha. He says, Aho batam mahat papam kartum vyavasita vayam. Just look, Krishna, what kind of a great sin that we have become ready to commit. Yad swajanam hantum udyataha, that we are ready to kill our own people. For what? For what purpose? Rajya sukha lobena, just for gaining the happiness of kingdom. In fact, if you see, I read a book which was written by one of the Gaudiya Math publications, where the political scene before and during and after Mahaprabhu's time was described. It was like a very brief, like a historical account. And literally, if you see, every in the Islamic rule, the Mughal rule, literally, the son would kill the father and his brother, and he would take up the throne. He would rule for a while, then his son will kill his own brother and father and take over the throne. And then his son will literally kill his own father and other brothers, and he will take over the throne. It was like that. And it was merciless, you know, one after another, so many kings, if you see, were killed by their own children. For yad rajya sukha lobena. And Arjuna is telling, you know, I'm trying to do the same, and I'm ashamed. I don't want to do that. Right? So finally, Arjuna is going to conclude his presentation. Okay. So he says, yadi mama pratikaram ashastram shastrapanayah dhartarashtrarane hanyus tanme kshemataram bhavet. So he says, tadme kshemataram bhavet. You know what, Krishna? I think it is better for me yadi, if dhartarashtra, the sons of dhritarashtra, shastrapanayah, holding weapons in their hands, mam rane hanyuhu, if they kill me on the battlefield, ashastram, and I will not hold any weapons, if they kill me without any weapons, apratikaram, without opposition, then tadme kshemataram bhavet. I think this is better. Better than my killing him and becoming the cause of, my killing them and becoming the cause of Varna Sankara and so many people going to hell. Let them kill me and I will not even raise weapons. No bloodshed on their part. Let only one person die. That's all. So he says, I think that is better, Krishna. Right? And then Sanjaya says, Sanjaya uvacha eva muktva arjuna sankhe ratopastha upavishat visrajya sasharam chapam shoka samvigna manasaha. Eva muktva, speaking in this way, Arjuna, visrijya sasharam chapam. Chapa means bow, shara is arrow, sasharam chapam. He gave up his gandiva bow and his arrows. Shoka samvigna manasa, manasa mind, shoka lamentation, samvigna disturbed. With his mind disturbed by lamentation, rata upastha upavishat. He sat down on his chariot, Sankhe, right in the middle of the battlefield. Right in the middle of the battlefield amidst all the soldiers. Arjuna literally put his bow and arrow down and sat down with his mind completely disturbed with lamentation. Right? So, this is where the first chapter ends. Any quick comments, questions, discussion points before we move on to the second chapter? You can just think about it. We have discussed a lot of things in the first chapter. Just take 1 minute time. I'll give you 60 minutes, 60 seconds time to just think if there are any quick final discussion points. In the meantime, I'll just drink some water and come. Just give me 1 minute time and you can just think about it and raise your hands if there are any quick questions, comments. Yes, bro. Shyam Mohan, bro.
Proji, I'm sorry, I may sound very silly.
No, no.
But I just wanted to ask, ki, were these all talking, like when Krishna was in Braj, he was naturally talking Braj Bhasha.
Mm-hmm.
That was his language.
Mm-hmm.
And then when these cousins were talking amongst themselves, the Pandavas and Krishna,
mm-hmm.
So would they be talking in Sanskrit amongst themselves, or they would be talking in the local dialect, whatever was the local dialect? And whether these discussions between Arjuna and Krishna in the form of Bhagavad Gita
mm-hmm.
have come really in Sanskrit, or they talk their local dialect, and then though the Shastras are apaurusheya, I understand and accept that,
mm-hmm.
but still then they were made into Sanskrit shloka, something like this, even though they may have spoken in the local dialect.
Well, I think probably their local language was also Sanskrit only. This is my guess. Again, I don't know for sure. But for us, it's very hard to imagine that the local dialect could have been Sanskrit. But in those days, it's quite possible that it was Sanskrit only. Sachipran Prabhu has something to add. Yes, Sachipran Prabhu.
So, Proje, when the same questions I asked to Vishwaroop once, he says the local language was Sanskrit only.
Yeah, that's what they were talking in Sanskrit. Yeah, that's what I strongly feel. But still, I don't know it for sure. I can still try to see if I can get an answer for this. But I think probably they were speaking in Sanskrit only. That's what I feel.
The present Vrindavan language is not there that time when in Braj. That time the language was in Sanskrit. Today's language of in Braj is totally Boli Bhasha, and previously they were in Sanskrit. So
maybe I'm not very sure about that. Quite possible. Quite possible. Yeah. Okay, Lokanath Prabhu. Lokanath Prabhu has asked a question. Prabhu, should I read your question or should I unmute you and you would like to ask the question yourself? I am unmuting you. If you want to ask, you can ask, or I can read your question also.
Yes, Prabhu, you can. Can you hear me, Prabhu?
Yeah, I can hear you, Prabhu.
So basically, I think two classes back, you mentioned that for if you are following bhakti, we don't need varnashram dharma for purification. Bhakti will purify.
Mm.
But we see practically that when we go through the whatever, either Grihastha ashram or maybe Brahmacharya ashram,
mm-hmm.
then we tend up, when our egos clash, then we become humble. And then when we go through bitter experiences, we become detached. So it does help. If we just chant, maybe that may not be so useful. So just I wanted your comment.
Yeah, good question, Prabhu. Actually, don't mute yourself back. Okay, while I was telling, he has muted himself. Because we are going to have a small conversation here. My question is, what is your understanding of Varnashram, Prabhu?
So I was talking mainly about ashram. Varnas we are not following properly. Last time also you mentioned that Varnas we are not following. And we are not sure what is our varna. But ashrams we are trying to follow something. At least partly. Yeah. So that staying in ashram does help.
Of course, staying in a particular ashram is not outside the purview of bhakti. But there may be a particular very specific ashrama dharma which we may not perfectly follow. See, all you need is law and order has to be maintained. For that, we are not proposing that there will be adharmic, there will be lack of dharma. No one is suggesting that there will not be any dharma. What is being suggested here is that for those who have faith in Bhagavad Dharma, they can follow Bhagavad Dharma. It's not that Bhagavad Dharma is without any rules and regulations. For example, where in Bhagavad Dharma there are rules and regulations? I will tell you one thing. అత్యాహార ప్రయాసశ్చ ప్రజల్పో నియమాగ్రహ జనసంగశ్చ లౌల్యం చ షడ్బిర్ భక్తిర్ వినశ్యతి. హి సేస్ ది సిక్స్ థింగ్స్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ భక్తి. సో ఇఫ్ వన్ రిస్ట్రెయిన్స్ ఫాలోయింగ్ యునో అత్యాహార ప్రయాస ప్రజల్ప నియమాగ్రహ జనసంగ అండ్ లౌల్య అండ్ ఫాలోస్ ఉత్సాహాన్ నిశ్చయాత్ ధైర్యాత్ తత్తత్కర్మ ప్రవర్తనాత్ సంగత్యాగాత్ సతోవృత్తి. సతోవృత్తి మీన్స్ టు ఫాలో ద కాండక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద గ్రేట్ ఆచార్యస్. అండ్ ఇఫ్ వన్ ఆన్ టాప్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఫాలోస్ వాచో వేగం మనసా క్రోధ వేగం జిహ్వా వేగం ఉదరోపస్థ వేగం. దీస్ ఫస్ట్ త్రీ వర్సెస్ టాక్ అబౌట్ ద డూస్ అండ్ డోంట్స్ within the realm of bhakti dharma. If someone properly follows this, why do you think there will be don't you think detachment and humility will manifest when one follows these things?
My understanding is that like that is for uttam adhikari, those who can control their resisting senses and the urges. But for people like us who are very much like any other non devotee but just trying to follow some bhakti, so okay, that staying in ashram does
no.
I feel that just does
I agree staying in an ashram I mean that is not outside the realm of bhakti, bro. Yeah, you can definitely stay in the ashram, but what are the particular ashrama dharma that we don't read from dharma shastras, right?
Yes, Prabhuji, yeah.
So that staying, whether griheta ko, vaneta ko, sadahari bole dako, wherever you are, whether you are in grihastha ashram or brahmachari ashram, in one sense, in depending on whatever is our current situation, we try to follow this atyahara prayasascha. Is this atyahara prayasa avoiding them? Is it for an uttam adhikari or is it for a kanishta adhikari?
No, that is for everyone. But you were talking about Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam.
Yeah, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam also.
Yeah.
To whatever, to the complete extent, only an Uttam Adhikari can follow. What you say is right. But attempt, all of us can do, right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
So when this attempt is made, in what to whatever extent we can, will it not generate detachment and humility?
Yeah, but association, basically humility comes from association. When our egos clash, if we are staying alone, then that may not be.
Correct, right? So that association is available, devotees association is there.
Yes.
Yeah, so in devotees association, you know, of course it is not necessary. This is one not so perfect understanding actually. When egos clash, does it lead to humility?
Repeatedly clashing and then you will feel that, it shouldn't happen. Then I think so.
No. Actually, what is the opposite of humility?
Arrogance.
Arrogance, pride, right? So, if egos do not... it is not that when egos clash, it will not lead to humility and loss of pride. Actually, pride and arrogance is a product of Rajogun. And that when that arrogance becomes very extreme, insanity, then it is Tamogun. And humility is a product of Sattvaguna. So it is not by ego clashing. Sattvaguna is not a byproduct of ego clashing. Sattvaguna is a byproduct of subduing of Rajoguna and Tamoguna. And subduing of Rajoguna and Tamoguna can happen either by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, or it can happen by practice of Bhakti Yoga. తదారజస్తమో భావ కామలోబాదయశ్చే చేతయేతైరణావిద్దం స్థితం సత్వే ప్రసీదతి. సో అల్టిమేట్లీ వెన్ దర్ ఇస్ సబ్డ్యూయింగ్ ఆఫ్ రజోగుణ అండ్ తమోగుణ్ అండ్ వెన్ సత్వగుణ బికమ్స్ వెరీ ప్రామినెంట్, ఆల్ దీస్ తృణాదపి సునీచేన తరోరపి సహిష్ణున అమానినా మానదేన, దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ manifestations, qualities which manifest when during the practice of bhakti or due to the practice of bhakti, when there is a significant subduing of rajogun and tamogun and a flourishing of sattvagun, which leads to steady practice of bhakti, which means this third verse of Shikshashtakam, Trinadapi Sunichena, indicates the stage of nishta, where rajogun tamogun is completely or predominantly subdued and sattvaguna becomes very prominent. So it is in one sense like many times, you know, when there is lot of clashes, when you know, when there is clashing of false ego, you know, by that purification will come. Well, I mean, it is not like that. Purification will not come like that. Purification will come when there is a conscious endeavor to practice devotional service nicely, and by that gradually the rajogun and tamogun will come down and sattogun will become more prominent, and by that when sattoguna becomes more prominent, then the qualities like humility, tolerance and not expecting respect, giving all respect to others, those qualities develop.
I said there are two other aspects of this. One was that Prabhupada insisting on very much on establishing Varnashrama. Mm-hmm. And second, that at present generation, we are seeing that devotees don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to get married. So if we give up altogether. And second thing, you said that bhakti includes Varnashram. So I'm not sure whether Varnashram is a general this thing of society. But whether it's part of bhakti, I've not come across that Varnashram is part of bhakti. So
see, Prabhu, actually, bhakti, it is not that devotees, if they don't practice Varnashrama dharma, it's not that they don't practice any dharma. So dharma means rules and regulations, right? So rules and regulations in our Vedic scriptures, no one is exempt from practicing rules and regulations. Everyone has to practice rules and regulations. But the rules and regulations will change according to a person's adhikar. No one in the within the Vedic realm is recommended to live an irresponsible life without following rules and regulations. But the rules and regulations will change. The books talking about the rules and regulations will change. Now, you are an ophthalmologist. There are certain basic rules and regulations that as an ophthalmologist that you need to follow, right? And someone else is Mataji is there. She's a gynecologist. So Vrajrade Mataji. So she has particular rules and regulations that she follows for her gynec practices. And she has particular books which she follow. So now I see that you are a doctor, she is a doctor. Let's say I don't know anything about super speciality. And I see that she's always reading that book. And she says, this is my Bible. You know, this is my Bible. And I see that you are reading a different book. And you follow slightly different practices. So I will say that, you are not following dharma. No, how can I say that you are not following dharma? You are following your optal dharma based on, you know, whatever optal dharma shastra that may be there. And she is following gainak dharma based on whatever gainak dharma shastra she has. So dharma is not one. Don't think that only those who are practicing Varnashrama dharma are dharmic. Varnashrama dharma is just one type of dharma which is recommended for people with a particular adhikar. But people with a different adhikar, it's not that they are adharmic. They follow different kind of dharma which will also maintain the law and order. So it's not that devotees are need not get married. That is not true. So people have a very short-sighted, to use an optal term, you know, they have a very myopic understanding of what is the scope of bhakti. Bhakti is not just Shravan Kirtan. Bhakti is lot more than that. Bhakti means anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. Not only Shravan Kirtan, but whatever is favorable for Shravanam and Kirtanam, that also has to be accepted. That falls within the category of bhakti. So therefore, if getting married for a particular person is favorable for his practice of bhakti, he will get married. But if to remain as a brahmachari is favorable for one's practicing bhakti, he will remain a brahmachari. If to perform his varna dharma is favorable for his bhakti, he will practice. If performing his varna dharma becomes unfavorable for his practice, if his guru's instruction for him is to do something else which may be different from his varna, and if a devotee does that, that is what is anukul for his bhakti. So the dharma changes. It's not that devotees don't follow dharma, but they follow dharma, but a different dharma. Because according to their adhikar, the dharma changes and the grantha also changes. So they don't, the devotees do not follow dharma shastras to follow their dharma. Rather, they follow bhakti shastras to follow their dharma. So devotees are not adharmic, they are not irresponsible. They are very much responsible. But their responsibility is not defined by the dharma shastras. Their responsibility is defined by the bhakti shastras. Is that...
Prabhu, your comment about Prabhupada insisting on establishing varnashram?
Okay. My comment about Prabhupada wanting to establish varnashrama. Okay.
That is 50% of his job, which is remaining. That is what he insisted. So he greatly says varnashram.
Okay. Now, we are going to read what Prabhupada has mentioned about varnashrama. Because you brought out this point, I will just give me 1 minute. I will open a slide that I had prepared. Of course, we have just 15 minutes, but at least I can touch something. Okay. So, I will just share the slide. I am not going to go over this full presentation. It's a very, very elaborate presentation. In our counselor's discussion, I took this maybe almost like 10 weeks or so, something like that. You know, it's like a very elaborate presentation. But I will just touch the topics and go. So that at least there is some coherence to what I am going to present. Of course, I think in Shyam Mohan Prabhu would have already heard this in the Rediscovering Vaidisadhana Bhakti. He must have heard this. But still, I will quickly touch the topic. So, first thing, I will explain that what Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. Okay. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu that, I'm just going to read this verse. He says, ananushtanato dosho bhaktiyanganam prajayate न कर्मणाम अकरणाद एष भक्ति अधिकारिणाम निषिद्ध आचरतो दैवात् प्रायश्चित्तम तु न उचितम इति वैष्णव शास्त्राणाम रहस्यम तद्विदाम मतम. सो ही सेज अनन भक्ति अंगानाम अननुष्ठानतो दोषः प्रजायते. सो ही सेज दैट a person qualified for bhakti is at fault for failing to perform all the important angas of bhakti. So if he does not perform the angas of bhakti, he is at fault. Na karmanam akaranat, but he is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. So this is very clearly mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami. Daivat, if by chance నిషిద్ధ ఆచరతో ఇఫ్ హీ హ్యాపన్స్ టు కమిట్ సమ్ సిన్ ప్రాయశ్చిత్తం తు నా ఉచితం దర్ ఇస్ నో అటోన్మెంట్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్ ఫర్ హిమ్ విచ్ మీన్స్ కర్మకాండీ అటోన్మెంట్ కర్మకాండీయ ప్రాయశ్చిత్త కర్ణే కా జరూరత్ నహీ హై ఉస్కో రైట్ ఇతి వైష్ణవ శాస్త్రాణం రహస్యం తద్విదాం మతం దిస్ ది ఒపీనియన్ ఆఫ్ ది వైష్ణ దోస్ హూ అండర్స్టాండ్ ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ వైష్ణవ శాస్త్రస్ దిస్ ఇస్ వాట్ హీ సేస్ ఐ ఎమ్ స్కిప్పింగ్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ థింగ్స్ బట్ జస్ట్ I am just going to touch the important aspects because so then what does it mean to not perform varnashrama duties? This we need to understand. Is a devotee irresponsible or ungrateful? Because this was exactly what your question was. They will become irresponsible. So and did Arjuna really follow the instruction of sarvadharman parityajya? Because Krishna said that you know at the end of Bhagavad Gita Krishna said sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. Oh Arjuna, give up all this dharma including varnashrama dharma and I will protect you from all the sins. But after hearing all this, Arjuna did fight on the battlefield, right? Arjuna fought on the battlefield and which means he did follow his kshatriya dharma. At least it looks like, right, which is to fight. And he did take care of his family, which means he did follow his ashrama dharma also. But if you see, did he really follow? Or was it a clarion call for a change of a paradigm? You know, did he actually follow or did he actually follow a different paradigm? So, if you see, Prabhupada always says that at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna did not want to fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But after hearing from Krishna, he fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. Prabhupada is very consistent in writing this. Always. Prabhupada never says that initially Arjuna did not want to fight, but after hearing Bhagavad Gita, he fought because Arjuna was a Kshatriya. So he says that because Krishna wanted him to fight, for pleasing Krishna he fought, right? The activity is same, but the purpose is different. The paradigm is different. Okay, so you know there are three categories of people. There are multiple categories. Let's say for ease of understanding, there are three categories of people: the karmis or the materialists. And the karma yogis, jnana yogis or ashtanga yogis, you put them in one category, and then there is bhakti yogis, right? So all of them accept and reject things. A karmi accepts what he likes and rejects what he dislikes. Raga sankalpo dvesha varjanam. And what is his pramana? His own experience is his pramana. Swanubhuti. That is his pramana. And a karma yogi, he accepts dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam. Whatever is his dharma, he will accept. Whatever is adharma, he will reject. And what is his pramana? The dharma shastras are the pramana. And a bhakti yogi, how does he accept and reject? Bhakti anukulyasya sankalpo bhakti pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable for bhakti, he will accept. Whatever is unfavorable, he will reject. What is the basis? The bhakti shastras, they are the pramana for him. Okay, so if you see, in one sense, when it comes to activities of you know, Varnashrama and Bhakti, there is a significant overlap between the activities of Varnashrama and Bhakti. You know, like for example, a person following Varnashrama may also take bath, and a person following Bhakti may also take bath. But for a person following Varnashrama, he takes bath because for performing various activities of Varnashrama, to be pure is very important. Whereas a devotee may take bath because by taking bath, his gross body remains disease free and the mind remains very fresh. So when the gross body is disease free and the mind remains very fresh, then it is very favorable for practicing devotional service. So if one takes bath for practicing devotional service nicely, then even though taking bath is done by everyone, a materialist also takes bath, a dharmic person also takes bath, a devotee also takes bath, but the purpose is different. So it is the purpose which defines whether an activity is a devotional activity or a varnashram activity or a materialistic activity. Okay. And of course, I don't want to go too much deep into this. And we saw that what is the basis of varnashram system? The varnashram system basis is actually Vishnu worship. You know, I won't go into the details. So therefore, whoever is worshipping Vishnu is within Varnashram. And this Varnashram, if you see, it has many components. You know, Shuddha Bhakti is the middlemost. Then there is Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. All these practitioners worship Vishnu and they all fall within Varnashram system. But according to Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, if you see, even though they fall within Varnashram system, actually, except for the Karma Yogi and the Karma Mishra Bhakta, others are not expected to perform Varnashrama Dharma. They are not adharmic, but they are not expected to perform Varnashrama Dharma. There is Jnana Dharma, Yoga Dharma and Bhakti Dharma. That is different. And they are not expected to practice Varnashrama. And this is very clear from Bhagavad Gita. If you see, you know, I have quoted many verses from Bhagavad Gita. Maybe some other time I will go through the verses, individual verses. We don't have time. So the reason why I am telling you this is, I could have directly spoken about what Prabhupada meant when he wanted to establish Varnashram. Okay. Before trying to understand that, we should try to understand what our parampara's teachings are. What our acharyas have mentioned, what Bhagavad Gita says, what Bhagavatam says, when that is very clear, then you try to understand what Prabhupada says, because you cannot show Prabhupada to contradict our own parampara. If Prabhupada contradicts the teachings of our parampara, then what we should do? Lokanath Prabhu, I will unmute you. If Prabhupada contradicts the teachings of our parampara, then what we should do?
We follow parampara,
right? Because our faith in Prabhupada, one of the main reasons why we follow Prabhupada is because he comes in an unbroken chain of bona fide parampara. So, if Prabhupada is presenting something, we should have full faith that Prabhupada would never contradict the teachings of the parampara. Right? So now, Prabhupada very, so now our parampara, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam are very clear. Okay? In this Varnashram disc, a Shuddha Bhakta or a Jnana Mishra Bhakta or a Yoga Mishra Bhakta or a Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi, none of them are expected to follow Varnashram duties. This is very clear from Bhagavad Gita only. What to speak of Bhagavatam? Right? Only a Karma Yogi and a Karma Mishra Bhakta, till their purification, is expected to practice Varnashram duties. Right? And first thing, when we are talking about Varnashram, we should know what is the role of Varnashram, what is the purpose of Varnashram duties. Okay, the purpose of Varnashram duties is purification of heart. You know, you can go over these verses. I have quoted these purports by Prabhupada, Vishnu Jagadakur and Baldev Devabhushan. Very clearly, they have mentioned that the purpose of practicing Varnashram duties is to purify the heart. Okay, a Jnana Yogi and Ashtanga Yogi, their heart is already pure, because that is a pre-qualification to practice either Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. So because their heart is already pure, they need not practice Varnashram. But a Bhakti Yogi Sadhaka, his heart is not pure. So how would his heart be purified if he neglects Varnashram duties? The Shastras say, well, Bhakti itself has purificatory potency, right? That's why Rupa Goswami says, Kleshagni, this is the first benefit of Bhakti. Or as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. You know, the first benefit of chanting the holy name is that it cleanses the heart, right? So, and there are so many other proofs, you know, that I have quoted. I am going to skip all that. So Bhakti itself is capable of purifying the heart. One is not dependent on Varnashram duties. And then Rupa Goswami gives various proofs about how for a person who is qualified for Bhakti, he need not practice Varnashrama duties. And just by Bhakti, his heart becomes purified and he progresses further. I am not going to go over the proofs and the explanations. That's a very long thing. At the end of it, now Srila Prabhupada did say that 50% of his mission is establishing Varnashrama. How do we understand this? Okay. This is a very important thing, right? Because till now, whatever we have seen, we have not seen it in detail. But if I had gone through those explanations in detail, you would have been completely thoroughly convinced that very clearly it is mentioned that it is not needed for devotees to practice Varnashrama duties. It's not that they won't follow duties. They will follow duties. They will follow law and order. They will follow the dharma. But the dharma is different dharma. Bhagavad dharma they will follow. Now, what could Prabhupada have meant when he said that 50% of my mission is establishing Varnashram? Okay. I am not going to go over it right now. Next week we will do it because it's already 9:30. But one thing that I want you to keep in mind is that Prabhupada would never contradict the teachings of the Parampara. And that's what I'm going to establish based on Prabhupada's own words. You know, how it is not at all contradicting what the Parampara has already presented. And we will try to understand, did Prabhupada really want to establish Varnashram? 100% guaranteed he wanted to establish. But what, for whom, and what exactly does it mean? This we will discuss in our next discussion. Next Friday when we come together, we will continue this discussion further. And at that time, we will take this point. Is that okay, Prabhu? Loknath Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. So, if there is no further, if there is any further comments, discussion points, maybe one discussion point we can take, maybe one question, if there is any. If nothing, then we will end today. Okay, so thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So, wish you all a very happy Diwali and Govardhan Puja, and may you have a very pleasant weekend. So, we will again, and the week ahead also, and we will again meet next Friday. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.